It was supposed to be the war to end all wars. And when you look at the figures, the astoundingly awful statistics, you can but wonder why it wasn't a war to end all wars. Over 9 million killed, 27 million wounded. At the Battle of the Somme 100 years ago this year, in one day alone, there were over 57,000 casualties, of which over 19,000 were killed. The figures are staggering. And we have to remember that when you're looking at these sorts of figures, actually you're talking about far more than just numbers. Because behind these awful statistics are even more terrible stories of human suffering. Stories of women becoming widows. Stories of fatherless children. Broken-hearted parents, countless numbers of women who were unable to find a husband and were faced with a lifetime on their own. On Remembrance Sunday, as well as remembering those who died, we remember today all the casualties of war over this earth. And when you sit back and think about the suffering and the loss and the misery that was caused by the First World War, you really do have to ask yourself why this was not the war to end all wars. Yet a mere 21 years after the end of the First World War, another world war began. And even when the evil regimes that brought this conflict were defeated, we know from our own recent history that other people are always ready to try to exert their own dominance, determined to impose their own evil ways and wicked ideologies on our world. And today, we face an enemy that's nowhere but everywhere. In global terrorism, it seems we just haven't learned the lessons from the past, and that as a human race we seem determined to press the self-destruction button time and time again. So it's important that we remember, because once we forget the past, we lose our grip on reality, and then the future is full of danger. So as we look around our world today, as we see the conflicts and wars in many different places, then we surely find ourselves asking the questions, what price peace? Will it ever change? How will it ever change? Well, as a Christian, I want to suggest that there is an answer, that there is something that will make the world change. And that answer is in remembrance. It's in remembering, but not just remembering the wars and conflicts of the past 100 years or so. The solution is in remembering something and someone from 2,000 years ago. In our Bible reading this morning, we heard very well-known words which will no doubt be repeated hundreds of times during the course of today in churches and around war memorials in this country and all over the world. Words of the Lord Jesus Christ. My command is this, he said, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. They're famous words, aren't they? They're words that are often quoted. But what did Jesus mean when he said those words? Well, let's understand first of all what Jesus is not saying. He's not saying that to die in war for others, for your comrades, is the greatest love that can ever be shown. Now, please don't misunderstand what I'm trying to say here. I'm not trying to say that those sacrifices which we remember today were anything other than remarkable. They were. And I'm grateful and thankful for those who made the ultimate sacrifice in order to bring us the freedom that we enjoy today. What I am trying to say is that when Jesus said these words, he wasn't speaking about war. He wasn't referring to those who readily die in conflict. Actually, he wasn't thinking about military conflict at all. He was speaking about his own death, a death so significant that it could end the conflict that's at the heart of every war, that's at the heart of every battle, every dispute, every disagreement, every argument. He was talking about a death that could bring you and me to a place where there is no more enmity, where there are no more wars. The war that was supposed to end all wars didn't do that, despite the sincerely held hope that it would. During the Second World War, Winston Churchill spoke about how the defeat of Hitler would allow the world to move forward into what he called bright, sunlit uplands. Well, Hitler was defeated, thank God. But since then, those broad, sunlit uplands have been darkened again and again by evil people who wanted to rule this world. Down the past, so many people have had dreams of a bright future. But the reality is that those dreams have never materialized. And we have to face up to the fact that on our own, we don't have the answer to the problem of human conflict. But Jesus does. When he spoke of the greatest love of a man laying down his life for his friends, he wasn't speaking about people giving their lives in military conflict. Because as that poem which we read earlier said, to end all wars and retribution, war itself is no solution. Can terror end all terror now? Brute force subdue itself and bow? Well, of course not. So where is the solution? The poem went on to say, we need to interrupt the spiral, find the anti-retroviral. And this is what Jesus is talking about here. What he was saying was that he came to get to the very heart of the problem. He came to eradicate the conflict virus that's in every human heart. Shortly after Jesus said these words, he went away to die on the cross, where he demonstrated publicly that greater love has no one than this, than that he lay down his life for his friends. Jesus' death on the cross was the greatest love this world has ever seen. The love of Jesus giving his faultless, sinless life for his friends. Every year on Remembrance Sunday, we hear of many remarkable stories and accounts of amazing acts of bravery and sacrifice carried out by men and women who died for their comrades. But I doubt whether this Remembrance Day, or indeed on any other Remembrance Day, we'll hear stories of men and women who were prepared to give their lives for their enemy. We won't hear of someone dying deliberately to save someone else who was at enmity with them. That's exactly what Jesus did. And that's what makes his death on the cross the greatest love, because this is the price of peace. Verse 13 here says that Jesus laid down his life for his friends. Do you remember what kind of friends they were? They were the kind of friends who deserted Jesus when he needed them most. They were the kind of friends who denied Jesus at his most lonely and vulnerable time. They were the kind of friends who were nowhere to be found as he went on trial, when he was mocked and scourged and beaten. With friends like those, who needs enemies? In fact, they weren't really Jesus' friends at all, nor were they God's friends. Like us, they were at enmity with God. Like us, they failed to love God with all their heart and with all their mind and with all their strength. Like us, they failed to love their neighbor as themselves. And the failure to keep these two great commandments is at the heart of all and every conflict. It's the story of all our lives. Even though we're capable of great acts of love and kindness, we choose not to live that way. Again, that poem we had earlier puts it so well, and it says concerning war, it's us. Unleash for good and ill, the gallant heart, the savage will, the Kaiser's pride and nation's fear, a global greed, it's all in here. It's all in here. It's all in the human heart. That's where all wars begin. It said, what causes war? The old book asks. Beyond the history, beneath the masks, begins a want, becomes a will, demands a way, prepares to kill. What ceases war? The pressing question. What can halt inborn aggression? You see, at the heart of the human problem is the problem of the human heart. The Bible says that we're at enmity with God. Put bluntly, we're at war with him. And because we rebel and war against God, we war and rebel against one another. But the incredible thing is that Jesus showed the greatest love that this world has ever seen by laying down his life for us. For the very people who had declared war against him, people like you, people like me, he died in our place. He died for guilty people. That's the price of peace. Jesus died so that we could become friends with God. And in doing that, he goes to the heart of the problem of why we're continually warring and fighting and disagreeing with one another. You see, Jesus' death can change the world. And it does that, first of all, by changing our world, your world and my world. Jesus' death and resurrection shows that we can be right with God. We can be sure of life beyond the grave. Our natural condition is that we're God's enemies. But Jesus, the walking, talking armistice, can bring peace. Peace with God through his death on the cross. And so give us life in eternity. And it's only Jesus who can offer and deliver that bright new world that so many people historically have looked for. Only Jesus can provide that future of bright sunlit uplands that Churchill spoke about. Eternal life, peace with God, it can be ours when we turn to Christ. Today we thankfully remember people who died in wars to bring us freedom, and we thank God that they did. But history tells us that the brave soldiers of the past can't bring a lasting solution, a lasting peace, let alone an everlasting life. But that's what Jesus brings through his greatest act of love in laying down his life for us. And it's remembering this, it's the remembrance of this that can change our world, your world and my world. But remembering this can also change the world of those we meet day by day. Jesus said, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends, he said, if you do what I command. Soldiers risk their lives every day. They do it for their country, yes. But ask them when they're actually there on the ground, putting their lives at risk. Ask them why they're doing it. And they'll tell you it's for the others in their unit or their patrol. They're doing it for their mates, for their friends who are there on the ground with them. Jesus is saying that he not only risked his life for his friends, for his mates, he gave his life to make us his friends. Not to enslave us, not to make us his servants, verse 15, but friends. And being a friend of Jesus changes us profoundly. Do you remember Tennyson's The Charge of the Light Brigade? Theirs not to make reply. Theirs not to reason why. Theirs but to do and die. Into the valley of death rode the 600. The point being that these poor men were given no reason, no explanation. They couldn't ask why. They were just soldiers. They were, as it were, servants of a higher ranked officer. They just had to follow orders, do what they were told. But with Jesus, it's different. In verse 15, he says, I no longer call you servants, because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything I've learned from my Father, I've made known to you. And we become his friends the moment we understand why he died for us. And once we're his friends, he treats us with such dignity. He shares his love. He includes us in his mission for the world. And that in itself is world-changing. The poem we began with ends like this. You to sweet surrender brought forgiveness for your battles fought. Peace to pass for every soul. Then warfare ceased from pole to pole. Peace with God breeds love for others, a desire to tell them how they too can know that peace. Jesus fills us with such love that we will want that everlasting peace, even for those who've wronged us. Yes, even for those who've wronged us terribly. And when we live that way, it's life-changing and it's world-changing. Today we remember many acts of self-sacrifice. And many of the stories that we hear today are quite remarkable. But however brave those stories were, however remarkable they are, none of them brought an end to war. None of them brought world peace. They couldn't do that. But there was a greater love, a love greater than any before or since, the love of Jesus Christ, laying down his life to make us his friends. That love changes hearts so that we no longer want war. It changes hearts so that we can love even our enemies. And it guarantees an eternal future where there will be no war, where all conflicts of any kind will be a thing of the past. What price peace? It's found in the life and death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.